biggest games.
Oh, my God! Look at the crowd!
The biggest events.
Wow, the crowd is on their feet.
The biggest stories.
This is what you signed up for, Seth.
I thought it would be the best jump in the game.
Welcome to the ESPN Esports Podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the ESPN Esports Podcast. I'm Rachel Drew, and I'm excited because it's the opening week of League of Legends and Genesis 4. And I'm joined by Leo Howell today, our first ever fantasy expert on the desk today to talk all things LCS. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, fantasy expert's always a tricky subject, right? No one's ever truly an expert in fantasy as much as some like to think so. But I'm an editor here at ESPN, and I started doing fantasy stuff and picked up esports when we started covering it. But I've done fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball for a really long time. And then I got into League of Legends specifically, and I'm like, wait, there's a fantasy game for this? And just kind of fell in love with that along with the game. And so,
dude, don't undersell yourself. I remember when I first joined ESPN, I came to you for all the advice about fantasy football. I'd never played before. So, and you just like knew how to explain it in a way that was very consumable for someone who knows nothing.
And how did you do in fantasy football?
I almost won. I made it to the finals and then I got crushed.
That's still pretty good. The finals is like better than almost everyone else. So
yeah, for sure. I think a better way for our listeners to kind of gauge the kind of person you are is, what position do you main in the game and who's your favorite champion?
So I'm a support main, which means that I am always the most frustrated because when my stat line looks really bad, everyone just blames me because that's the easiest position to blame. I mained Alistar to start out.
That's a very respectable champion to main.
And now I only miss like 30% of my combos instead of like 70% of my combos like when I started. But I've actually been playing a lot of Zyra lately.
Zyra's a great champion.
She's real.
She's super aggressive.
She's real good. Yeah, maxing E and just snaring people. And even like the bronze ADCs that I play with can pick up kills because when they're just sitting in place having a plant.
Yeah, and if your ADC just like sucks, you can just build Liandry's and carry the game yourself.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, like I lead in damage all the time and steal kills. I actually had a duo partner that I just found randomly because I stole like 6 kills from him and he didn't complain. So I'm like, okay, we should play together now. So...
Yeah, and then next game he was like, what the f*** you, you noob. I'm so sorry, Daniel. I did not expect that to come out. All right, but moving along. Before we dive right into fantasy, let's talk about North America and Europe, because you mentioned in your article, which is on ESPN.com/esports, that we should be mainly focusing on North American players and not European players.
Yeah, from a fantasy standpoint, the new scheduling and the EULCS actually put out a really cool video that can like help you get all caught up on this if you haven't seen it. But basically, they're doing 2 groups of 5 now, and like there's this sort of like you play everyone in your group twice, you play the other group once, and it goes over 10 weeks. Basically, what that means for fantasy purposes and like for reality, it has some implications that I think are pretty cool. I kind of like the format from a real perspective, but for fantasy, what it means is that instead of a 9-week schedule, it's 10, and they're not playing as many games. So teams just are not, like, there would be European teams that don't play 2 games a week every single week. And so from a fantasy perspective, that means that European players just aren't as valuable because this is a points game, and you get points for everything that someone does. And so you want someone who's playing 2 games instead of 1. So, for example, this first week, like, Splice is one of my favorite teams in Europe. Both from like a personal fan perspective and from like a, I think they're good and for fantasy perspective, but like you can't use them because you might as well, the worst player in North America will be better than the best player on Splice, almost guaranteed. And it's kind of frustrating for fantasy, but it's also the reality and it's something that you should go into your draft. Like even if you're a huge like EU fanboy, like you have to realize that you need to downgrade them in kind of the way you view them from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, for sure. And something else that's changed this season is the 10 ban system. Really interesting change up in terms of how the game is played. Who do you think benefits the most from this change?
The 10 ban system, and Tyler Erzberger did a great article on this kind of back when it was rumored that this was going to happen. I think there was like a leak that like Taiwan, or not even Taiwan, it was even a smaller region, was doing it. And then we kind of reacted to it then. And Tyler basically said, like, the people who benefit from this are Faker, Bjergsen, the best players, because they are first of all, they're technically better, and so it doesn't really matter what champion they're on. They're going to be technically better than the person they're going up against. And also, like, because of their skill and their understanding of the game, they can play pretty much everyone. The people it's going to hurt are the people you already didn't want from a fantasy perspective, right? I don't think that this is necessarily going to be, you know, the end of any particular person. So what I actually did is I went to Oracle's Elixir, and I used their stats to figure out how many people played quote-unquote deeper champion pools last year in NA. I define that as if they played any particular champion more than five times, and I saw who played the most. Do you want to guess who played the most champions five or more times?
It must be Bjergsen.
It is not Bjergsen. It's not even a mid
layer. If you tell me it's Huhi.
It's not Huhi.
Who is it?
It was actually Stixxay.
Oh, interesting.
So that's the thing, right? Is like you would assume it was Bjergsen, but the thing about Bjergsen is that there's that weird metagame to picks and bans, right? Where like banning a champion away from Bjergsen just means he's going to play another champion he's really good at. So it's almost like you just want to ban a champion that's just like back when Syndra was just like stupid, broken, good. Like you would ban Syndra just because she's Syndra and she's really good, not because you're worried about Bjergsen Syndra, because Bjergsen's Ryze is also good. Bjergsen's Cassiopeia is also good. His Orianna is also good. Like you don't need to, you don't necessarily try to target ban him. Like you mentioned Huhi, you target ban his Aurelion Sol.
Yeah, but I think there's an argument to be made. Well, at least not now, but back then you could kind of rely on these, I guess, one trick ponies. I really hate that term, but like you could rely on players with smaller champion pools just because they did have that pool, and they would be someone you would put higher on your draft just because their utility and they're going to produce a certain number of points. But I think you're right when you say that there's like this bigger gaping divide between the lower half of the league and the higher half of the league. I just wonder if it's really going to affect, I guess, those low econ mid laners or like those low econ AD carries. But yeah, I think we should talk about our drafting strategy surrounding that.
Yeah, I mean, one player that did come to mind that I think may be impacted by this is actually Dardoch. He's got so many of those weird one-off picks, and in a best of three, if he comes out in game one with Tank Rengar and the other team doesn't like it, they can ban Tank Rengar. If he comes out with Jarvan the Fourth in the first game and does really well on it, they can ban it for the next game. So, like, he's fine on Rek'Sai. He's fine on, you know, all these, like, meta tanks. Or meta junglers, or meta tanky junglers, meta carry junglers, whatever. But I feel like he's a guy who, back when it was three bans, you had to really worry, like, if we ban, you know, Dardoch's Rengar, are we going to have to worry about, you know, giving up something to Pobelter that we don't want Pobelter to have? Are we going to give something to Cody Sun that he's comfortable on? He's obviously a player that may be, you know, a little shaky coming into the season. Do we want to give him a comfort pick? So I feel like maybe a guy like that, like you said, it's not necessarily a one-trick pony, but it is someone who has pocket picks that then become more easily banned away. Like I said, who he's the obvious example, but if you think of people like that, people who have kind of slightly off the beaten path picks that, was it Ray? I mean, I know he's obviously not going to be starting, that had like, that played like Jarvan, that played like all of these really weird sort of Keen too. Like they play
Keen,
like
Keen played some weird shit.
Yeah.
Like Urgot.
And so like those are the kind of people who I think are gonna fall down a little bit because you can just ban those things because then you have extra bans to get, you know, if you just want to ban Rek'Sai because you want to pinch the jungler pool, you can still do that in the second round.
Yeah, but I also think people have to ban what's in the meta. So I don't think they'll be really focusing on those pocket picks. Which probably will make other players more inclined to take those weird picks in the future. So it'll be interesting to see what people draw up when the meta picks are banned.
And you mentioned Bjergsen earlier. He actually only played in the summer three champions more than five times. But that also means that there may have been several that he played fewer than five times, and he just kind of spread it all out. But
yeah, let's talk a little bit about our own fantasy experience. You're part of three different leagues. Did you see any common strategies in terms of picks?
Well, I learned something really quickly. I wrote in my article that I kind of discredit the top lane position because I don't feel like there's a big enough difference between the best ones and the worst ones. That becomes an issue when you literally wait and even the worst ones are gone. We mentioned with NA being better than EU for fantasy that you want to focus on NA players. You pretty much have to make sure that at every single position you have an NA player. And I finished one of my drafts without the option of any NA top laner. I think someone even took Ray just in case he takes over for Impact. Like, it got that far down into the NA top laners that I didn't even have a backup to choose from.
Well, I'm pretty sure people are drafting based on intuition, and that intuition is, let's draft Flame first, or let's draft Looper first,
because
they're Korean players.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I did an industry draft with some people from RotoWire and various other sites around the kind of the fantasy league industry, and yeah, like, they drafted Flame, Someday, and Looper within the first, like, 20 picks, and that went against what I thought was right, but I think that there is a impression among people that, like, top laners are going to become more carries, and obviously we don't know how the meta is going to shift, because if the meta does shift in favor of carry top laners, then, yeah, you'd want Someday, because he's going to, against, you know, when Someday comes up against Lorlo, you really want that matchup, right?
Yeah, absolutely, so. And I think I'm just going to run down my picks in our ESPN fantasy group. I chose Arrow and Turtle first, and I think picking 280 carries for your first two positions is really smart, especially if you're in an eight-man league. It just, like, really screws over your opponents. It's not even just beneficial for you. It makes their pool much smaller. And then after that, I chose Fen, Hai, Seraph, Aphromoo, and then CLG. So I got lucky, and I got all NA players and all NA teams, so...
Yeah, so in the same one, the ESPN league, I almost made the same mistake with my top laner. I did wind up with Lorlo, who I was just poking a little fun at. But I do think that he is probably a little better than people give him credit for. And also, because I don't think top lane is that important, I didn't prioritize it too much. But I actually started with Bjergsen, Cody Sun, and Apollo as my first three picks. I wanted to get multiple ADCs as well, but when you have the second pick and someone takes Flame first, you kind of have to take Bjergsen. Like, Bjergsen should be the first pick.
Wait, you chose Cody Sun second. That's really interesting. Why?
I mean, second, but it was also, like, the end of the second round. So it was, like, the 15th pick. And he was the best ADC left. Like, him and Apollo were the best ADCs left. Because at that point, like, Laud was gone. Wild Turtle was gone. Sneaky was gone. Arrow was obviously gone. And Piglet was gone. And so, like, those are the ADCs I want, right? Like, those are, like, probably the five. And people won't include Laud in that. I think that Laud's going to be good, not just because I think he's good, but because that team is going to be good. And at some point, if you're an ADC on a good team, you're just going to fall into kills and assists.
Do you think your position in the draft should affect what you choose?
I do. And actually, in retrospect, like, I kind of wish that Tyler had taken Bjergsen so that I could just take Sneaky. Because I do feel like there are more mid laners that kind of go a little deeper. I feel like in another one of the drafts I did, like, Pobelter fell really far. I think in our draft we've got a few Immortals fans, so he wouldn't have. But, like, I feel like I'm feel more comfortable with some of the mid-tier mid laners. Like, at ADC, I feel like you really want Arrow, Sneaky, Wild Turtle, or Piglet. Like, I feel like those are, like, the aces, and if you don't have one of them, you're going to be at a real disadvantage.
And I got Arrow and Turtle, so I would just like to point that out. I'd also like to point out I have the week's highest projected points, so...
Yeah. I also, talking about EU, everyone kind of followed the NA over EU strategy, and I wound up getting Expect and Jankos really late. And since they're both playing two games this week, I'm starting both of them. So that is something to keep in mind, is that if everyone goes too far in the other direction, like if Sven or Perks is there in, like, the fourth round, you should absolutely take them, because even if they don't play, you know, two games every week, the weeks where they do play two games, they're going to be better than almost anyone you can take at that point in the draft.
All right. Well, if you want to find out more about the LCS, LPL, or LCK, we have a bunch of amazing stat pages and schedules at ESPN.com/esports. Guys, we're going to take a short break right now, but when we come back, more LCS coming your way. And we're back with the ESPN Esports podcast. Thank you, Matthew Berry, for your enlightening interruption. Leo, I have a couple more questions about NALCS fantasy. I say NALCS fantasy like it's NA only, but I know that there's an EU component somewhere in there. But yeah, let's talk more about what teams we should draft. And should we actually have a team as a substitute?
Yeah, this actually came up when we were doing our draft, because we had a nice mix of people who kind of follow LCS and follow or have played fantasy before and a couple who haven't. And so that question came up, like, how do you view the team position, which in fantasy LCS you have to draft a full team, and should you have one as a substitute? And my answer to that would be you definitely should not only take one, but you should kind of view it as a little bit more of a priority. Like, I would value team over top lane and support I think that the good teams are so much better than the worst teams in terms of fantasy points that you really want to make sure that you have a good one. In ours, I wound up with Dignitas because I believe that they're going to be good. But like TSM and Cloud9 should be very early picks. Maybe not as early as Jacob Wolf took Cloud9 in our draft.
Wait, but please elaborate on Dignitas because I actually don't think they're going to be good next season.
I think that they added, so first of all, I think that Lod is good, which I think is a controversial opinion. And then obviously adding Someday, like, I think that like they added the right kinds of import talent, and I obviously like it, a lot of it's going to depend on Keen, right?
I just think that these mixed teams don't really work out. I think Someday and Chaser are going to be good, but trying to fit them in with Keen, who's kind of this wonky mid laner. We don't know how he's been. He's taken a break for almost, I don't know, 2 years. And I think Lod is good as well. I think he's very underrated. But Xspecial too. Did he play last year?
Yeah, he was on Apex.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's kind of a hodgepodge of a mess, and I don't know if it's
That's the thing, though, is you start to think, like, other than Cloud9, and we'll just assume TSM, even if we're worried about Double If leaving, like, who's the third best team?
That's a very good question.
Actually. And I think that it could be Dignitas. It could be Phoenix One.
Like, I think you're underrating CLG here because they're a team. Okay, I know the narrative around CLG is like they're the team that represents friendship and all these great things. But I actually think that there is a benefit to keeping the same lineup and roster from a year ago because you really grow with your teammates and you learn your teammates' weaknesses. You know how to communicate. You know what your teammates are thinking. I think that they'll do pretty well this season.
I mean, for sure. And I think that you could say the same, you know, about even though there's been a little bit of change in their lineup, I feel like Liquid kind of has the same kind of players who are familiar with each other, players who know each other sort of thing. But especially for CLG, that's definitely true. And it's I think that my issue with them is that I don't think that they have shown anything other than continuity to move them up. And they haven't really proven that they are anything more than a good team who can be tough to beat in the playoffs.
Well, I think the fact that they made Worlds and MSI speaks to a lot of their strengths, and they have a really good coach. Six is super smart.
Yeah,
he's really going to adapt
He might not be the best support overall, but in terms of like shot calling and team leadership and something, like I would not pick anyone over Aphromoo if I was building a team out of any players. Like I think that Biofrost will probably be a better technical player than him, but if I want to build a team around a support from NA, I think it has to be Aphromoo. And that's I'm not trying to discredit that. Also, I think that we go talk about the 10 ban system again. I think that obviously who he's going to be impacted by that. And I also think that, you know, it's possible that Darshan could be. I've been kind of he plays like tanks and carries. I've seen him do both, but I also feel like he's a guy that you can kind of target and kind of get off of the champions he's comfortable on. I think that Xsmithy and Stixxay are kind of the wild cards there. Like, I think that they can both be very good. I took Stixxay first last year in our fantasy draft because I thought he was going to be really good.
Right.
Yeah. But it wasn't enough because the rest of my team was bad. But still, I do feel like, but regardless, I mean, like, back to the original point in terms of teams, like, this is kind of the argument you have to have with yourself when you're picking a team, right? Is if you don't get TSM or Cloud9, you have to figure out who do you think the third best team is. And I just think it's Dignitas, and it's really part of it's just kind of a gut feeling. Like, it's just that, yeah, like, Someday and Chaser, like, just feeling like the Korean import combination will kind of put them over the top. And the new sort of investment in that organization. Like, maybe it's just wanting to see traditional sports investment succeed, you know, kind of coming from a traditional sports background.
And I think that a lot of it, sometimes you don't even need to choose the best team. I think sometimes you can just choose the team that you know is going to put up numbers on the board. And sometimes those aren't the best teams.
Yeah, for sure. It like that's the argument for CLG. CLG is not going to finish eighth. There's like no way that CLG is going to finish eighth. And they'll give you decent fantasy points every week. And so, yeah. And with that in mind, like, that's why you take them in the middle of the draft so that you're not stuck with, oh, I have to take FlyQuest or Echo Fox.
What's wrong with FlyQuest?
I don't think that they're very good.
I actually agree. That was supposed to come off as sarcastic, but
yeah, no, I know. I was playing along.
I think Falls is rated like the lowest top laner, like even under the EU players who were playing one game this week, which was just baffling.
Yeah, like some of the projections for Echo Fox and FlyQuest players were below. Like, I'm pretty sure that Trick was projected to outscore for the whole season, was projected to outscore like Acadian and Moon. And I would probably agree with that. Like, Trick is going to be a monster in EULCS, and like, you should still take him early and like, just make sure you get a second NA jungler to back him up. But
speaking of EU and NA, sorry, I'm still thinking about FlyQuest, because since this is the old reiteration of Cloud9 from, I don't know, like 2013 or 2014, someone correct me on that, but I think it'll be interesting to see if Hai can actually resume his shot calling duties, because you know that whole narrative of Hai like brings this team together and his shot calling is world class and it's the best in the world and he carried this team to the semifinals of the world championships. I think this will really test that.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's not playing mid lane and on that team because he's a technically superior player to the other options. Like, it feels very much like, and obviously XPEC-A kind of has a bigger role with his team and kind of gets to decide more of whether he gets to play or not. But I feel like Hai's almost in the same spot where it's like, you just can't get rid of him until he says he wants to leave, because he's just got such a leadership role and such a experience. It's sort of like you can't go to Michael Jordan and say, it's time to retire. Like, he has to decide himself. And like, Hai's not that good, but like, he also has that position of just respect of like, you can't go tell Hai, no, we really need to develop some young new mid laner to replace you, or no, you need to move back to support and let someone play mid lane.
Like, wait, Leo, did you just compare Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, to Hai?
Yes. Actually, what I'm saying is that Hai is the best mid laner of all time.
I agree with you. I don't think FlyQuest is going to put up the numbers that you need for your fantasy team. I'm just looking at the lineup right now. Balls, Moon, Hai, Altec, Lemonation. I don't think these are players individually who put up very high numbers. So I just don't think that as a team they should be prioritized.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, right? Is like, even on Echo Fox, I feel like Looper can be a useful fantasy player. I wouldn't want the Echo Fox team. I wouldn't want them. And you mentioned do you want a team on your bench? I feel like if you get an NA team as your first team in fantasy, you can pick up an EU team that you like for your bench and rotate them in when they have a two-game week. But I would not get a bad team to put on my bench just to have them. I would rather have a backup jungler, ADC, or mid laner to rotate in, especially if they're a EU one that's really good. I wouldn't want to use a bench spot on a team, especially a bad team. But I do feel like there's a potential for Looper and eventually, there's a possibility that Keith delivers on the promise that we saw from him, you know, that time when he got like to the top of the Korean solo queue or whatever when he was over there. Like, there's obviously some talent in Keith. He's just never really, especially on Echo Fox, been surrounded by the sort of talent that can bring out the best in him.
Well, yeah, and I also think that solo queue and scrim results, which I remember during our draft yesterday, Jacob kept mentioning, I don't think those are good indicators of how you're going to perform on an actual professional stage.
For sure.
There is no correlation between those two. But I was wondering, how important is the bench this season? Like, should we? It's not like basketball where your players get injured or your players get replaced. Like, how important? How much should you prioritize your bench over your actual lineup?
I mean, I learned my lesson, and I think that you need to fill your entire lineup first. I don't think that you should leave the draft, or you should start filling out your bench before you have an NA player for every starting position. But then at that point, I think that your bench should be focused on getting either NA players you think have upside or EU players who you will plug in when they have two games. Like, if you can get like Trashy or Kakao or, you know, any player like that to back up your jungler, especially if you get like a mediocre NA jungler, I think that's the way to go, because then every time they have two games, you can plug them in instead and kind of have more upside in those weeks.
Dude, speaking of Kakao, I really wonder how he's going to do, since he's been in the LSPL, which is the secondary league for the Chinese league. And from what I hear, he hasn't done really that well. So, and he was the best jungler at one point in League of Legends history. So I really wonder if he can come back and just, you know, wow everyone again with his mechanics.
Yeah, I mean, that whole team is really interesting to me. Like, Alfari seems to have a ton of promise, and Power of Evil, can he kind of get back to that somewhat respected state that he was at before, you know, kind of falling off the map with the rest of that team this past split?
Hey, do you think that the people who bandwagon Misfits will bandwagon Dignitas after Misfits loses?
I mean, I'm on both bandwagons, so people are free to join me, and I'll just kind of...
Wait, I feel like I need to clarify this joke, because it's a joke about the Heat, you know, because the Heat is sponsoring Misfits, and the Warriors co-owner. Okay, I guess this joke just died.
No, I mean, well, so, the Warriors is Liquid.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Dignitas
God damn
is
it.
The 70, no, nobody's jumping on the 76ers bandwagon.
Why not? I want them to
actually,
succeed
no, trust,
so badly.
Trust the process. Joel Embiid. Lod is Joel Embiid. He's going to break out the season.
Oh, my God, please. Please, please put that on Twitter. I would love to see what people say about that.
All right, yeah, trust the process. Lod is Joel Embiid. There we go. It's going to go on Twitter soon.
All right, cool.
Leo Howell 8 on Twitter.
Let's talk about some of the matchups heading into the first week of the LCS season. I'm pretty excited about, I guess, TSM's first game, CLG's first game against Liquid. There's actually a couple good matchups this week. We have TSM and Immortals on Sunday. Who do you think is really going to impress this weekend?
I mean, so Phoenix One has a chance to kind of really impress me by stomping Echo Fox and then showing up against my sleeper team of Dignitas. That I may switch bandwagons really quick depending on how that game goes, because I really think that one of Dignitas or Phoenix One are going to be a top four team this year.
Oh, dude, how have we not talked about Phoenix One? They completely wrecked the offseason. Like, they, and by wrecked, I mean they did a really good job. I think they made some super smart pickups. Ryu, yeah. Arrow, and Adrian. Like, that bot lane is scary.
Yeah, I mean, and then you've got Inori, who really showed up at the end of last season coming out of the jungle. The concern is that Zig is their top laner.
Yeah,
and nothing
I
personal
tried to
against
gloss over that.
Yeah, nothing personal against Zig, but it's kind of like Lorlo. Like, when you don't, when you're going up against like what, like five Korean import top laners who have some of which have like Worlds experience, and you've got like Lorlo and Zig who are competent homegrown NA talent. Like, you know, it's a little tougher to, you know, have a ton of faith in them. But at the same time, it depends on how the meta shifts, because there are times when the top lane just becomes, you know, a slap fight between two tanks and the rest of the map is actually having all the fun.
Yeah.
So if that's the case and you can hide Zig for 20 minutes until he becomes a tank that can't be killed, then yeah, Phoenix One could be great, because if you've got, you know, Ryu, Arrow, and Adrian kind of all working together on the bottom side of the map with Inori making ganks for them, you may not need a top laner.
Yeah, well, I think the meta has shifted enough that we're not living that era where top lane was an island unto itself. Although I actually really enjoyed that meta, because that basically meant you never got ganked. But moving along, we also have Team Envy, which I'm kind of curious about and sort of disappointed by, because I don't think they had a lot of moves they could have made in the offseason, but they kind of like stuck with the same, you know, Seraph top lane. I'm just kind of disappointed, because that's a team I really like and respect. So
yeah, I mean, Lyra's kind of the wild card, right? Like, that's kind of the player that they added that you can kind of look to as potentially, you know, giving them something a little different. But going from Lod to Apollo is, if you're not high on Lod like me, you view that as probably neutral. And if you do like Lod, you view that as a downgrade. And then, yeah, like Hakuo, Seraph, Ninja. Ausish. Like, there's not a lot of guys there that you're thinking, like, these guys are going to set this team apart. Like, this seems like a doesn't get relegated, doesn't go to playoffs sort of team, right? Like, they beat Echo Fox and FlyQuest, but they can't beat anyone else.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think that's all the time we have for today's podcast, but thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. It was fun. And I am excited to leave this podcast and go watch the EU LCS, because it is going on as we're recording and I am missing it already.
It's very true, but it's not going to affect your fantasy points, so don't worry. And thank you, Daniel, for making the podcast happen, even on such short notice. You can follow all of us on Twitter at ESPN_esports, at Rachel Younggu, at Leo Howell 8, and at Daniel Dawson.